Let's look in Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Everybody talking about how long they've been married. Me and Ruth ain't been married that long. We're still on our honeymoon. Amen. Just a few days. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Boy, I tell you what, it's a heavy load in here this morning. I don't know what y'all been doing, but it ain't been good. Going to be fun this morning. Amen. Some folks in Sunday school probably think I got a burr under my saddle already, but no, sir, no, sir. Looking at Ephesians chapter 2 this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about how God sees you, how God sees you. Of course, I'm going to start in verse number 1, but I'll read verse number 12, first of all, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And I do want to talk to you this morning for just a little while about how God sees you. Lord, thank you for your goodness and for your grace. And Lord, I thank you for being saved. I thank you, God, for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness of sins. I thank you, dear God, that the old preacher's wife came by our house one day when I was a little boy and started bringing us to church on the bus. How you saved us, God, not just myself, but my family, God, thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness and for your grace. For those that have been faithful to you all these years, Lord, I thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, God, that there still are preachers. Thank you that there still are churches. Thank you that there still is hope for lost sinners, God, and that hope is in Jesus Christ alone. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us here for a little while this morning. There is a heaviness here this morning that I don't recognize as having been here in quite a while, Lord. I've just asked you, God, to help us. I ask you to be with us. I pray, God, that your spirit would be present here this morning to save souls, that you would be here present, dear God, to recaptivate the minds of your children. I pray, oh God, that you would help us this morning to put aside the things of this world. And Lord, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. I pray you to help us, God, to recommit. I pray you to help us to re-engage. And I'll thank you and praise you, God, for everything that you do. Have your will, God. Have your way. Help us here this morning, God. Help us not to be poor attitude, God, and just to let our own hearts and minds drag us down. And this here opportunity, dear God, to get something from you. Help us, oh God, is my plea. Forgive us. Have mercy on us, God. Wash us and cleanse us. And we'll thank you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Now let's look in verse number 1 first of all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now that's talking about to you saved folks. Are you saved this morning?
Amen.
Well, contrary to your present condition this morning, you have been quickened.
Yeah.
Amen. And I know that's not the pace that we're running at this morning. We're all kind of running a little bit slow. And I don't know, for one reason or another, we're just dragging just a little bit this morning. But we are saved. Amen.
Yeah.
Quickened. And I'll just go ahead and tell you this morning, I'm saved body, soul, and spirit. Just so there's no doctrinal confusion, amen? Sometimes folks begin to get wax doctrinal and get a little bit too cerebral and start thinking about things too hard. You don't have to think about nothing. All you got to do is read your Bible, amen? Your body is waiting for the redemption. And this body's still flesh. And the source of sin in your life is this body. This body gets in control, it can take you to some dark places. And God sees that. The Bible says when a man dies, I don't care if he's saved or lost. When a man dies, his spirit goes back to God that gave it. Your spirit belongs to God. The life that you've got flowing through your blood, the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. That life that's in your body is God's spirit. If it wasn't for God, you'd be dead this morning. Amen? And when Adam died, he died in his soul. God said, the day you eat off of that tree, you're going to die. And the very day that Adam ate off of that tree, his soul died. And when you got saved, God quickened your soul. He predestinated your flesh to be conformed to his likeness. Amen? And your spirit is going to go back to God that gave it. We're saved, all the way saved. We're so much saved, Brother Heath, that the book of Colossians says you are complete in him. You're complete. Amen. If you're saved this morning, you're completely saved. Amen. All the way saved. All the way saved. I'm glad about that because my mind is all the way messed up. My flesh is all the way messed up, and so is yours. So is yours. The Pharisees among the religious communities, there ain't nothing wrong with them. And they live such bitter lives because things is wrong with everybody else. And I'd be happy to sit right down on the pew beside you this morning and say, I'm in just as much trouble as you, and I've got just as much problems as you and just as much troubles as you have. If you're a young man, you got trouble in your flesh. If you're an old man, you got trouble in your flesh. If you're a young woman, you got trouble in your mouth. I mean your flesh. If you're an old woman, you got trouble in your flesh. You've got trouble in your flesh. But I'm so glad that God saved us from that. That's what God saved us from. God saved us from our past. Some of us got a past. Amen? And all of us got a future. I don't know if your future is going to be 20 days or 20 years. I don't know what your future holds, but you got a future and you got trouble in your future. God saved you from your past and God saved you from your future. I'm so glad of that. I'm glad I don't have to get saved every day. Sometimes I think I should get saved every day. And in one sense, I never doubt my salvation because Jesus saved me. But then in another way of thinking about that, sometimes I wonder, boy, you can't be saved. Now I'm not trying to convince you to go out doubting your salvation for the rest of your life, but I just think if you got a right concept of why you needed to be saved and you still see that rascal, I'm talking about you. Yeah. I said you was a rascal. Yeah. You said you was something special, but I said you was a rascal. Because God said you was a rascal. Amen? But boy, I tell you, sometimes if you know why you got saved, then you still recognize that old buzzard that needed to be saved from time to time, don't you? Like, and by time to time, I mean every 15 or 20 minutes. Amen. I'm suspect of those fellas that think, well, every 10 years or so I mess up. No, you mess up every 10 minutes, don't you? Don't you? That's part of the blessing right there of being saved. I'm saved from sin. I'm saved from hell. I'm saved from a lot of things, but the biggest buzzard I'm saved from is me. Amen. This religion stuff about, well, I go to church and I've been tithing and I've been doing this, and that's the talk of a religious deceived person. I started to say religious buzzard, but deceived person sounds more, of course, this morning it's a little bit late for me to be personable and nice, isn't it? Amen. Well, I tell you this, I certainly am glad that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm saved from this old buzzard right here. It's a very clear thing in the Bible, Brother Jack. All we like sheep have gone astray, and like the old song says, prone to wander. You're prone to it. Prone to it. Of course, now there is a danger in being comfortable with that. Some folks are prone to wonder, Lord, they feel it. And Lord, they enjoy it. And in the flesh, there are some things in this world you can enjoy. But I think somebody that's really been quickened by the Spirit of God, that pleasure of sin, it's only for a season. Get tired of it after a while. And that's one of the good things. That's one of the good witnesses of the Spirit of God in your heart. You know God sees you. You know, God knows who you are. Amen. And that bothers you in your mind. Amen. 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 Bothers you in your mind. You know, I think it's kind of hardwired into us. Hardwired. I think I'm talking about hardwired into us the way we think it, just in the natural sense of things. You know, when I grew up, I probably didn't talk to my biological father more than maybe three times in my whole life. I don't remember him that well as far as being a little kid. I seen him once or twice when I was growing up, and I seen him when I was about 19 or 20 years old. And you know, for some reason, when I saw that fella when I was 19 or 20, I cared what that fella thought about me. And he was a rascal. I mean, he was a rascal. His daddy was a rascal. He come from a long line of rascals. Yeah. Amen. But for some reason, and if we can look at a rascal down here in this flesh and blood world that we live in and care what they think about us, man, what must be wrong with us when we don't care what God thinks about us? Because God does think about us. We live in a world of millions of people, and sometimes we think we're hiding amongst the millions. Well, you're not hiding amongst the millions. We serve a God that knows every one of our thoughts, knows how many hairs we do or do not have upon our head. He knows. He knows. God knows what we're going through. God knows what we're dealing with. God knows what we're struggling with. And God knows what we're trying to get away with. God knows. God knows. And God thinks something about it. And I think a lot of people try to separate this idea of God from Him having any feelings about what we do or what we think or what we say, but that's just not true. God knows. God sees you, and God thinks of, I mean, God's judgmental. I want to see one of you shake your fist at God and say, "You're judgmental. You should have more grace on us." I mean, that's what they say to the preacher when the preacher starts to preach a little bit hard. Well, you better get used to the idea that God's judgmental. And judge not, lest ye be judged. But what about judge righteous judgment? How come you don't ever quote that verse? I'm with you on judge not, lest ye be judged. Hey, that judgment that you're putting out on everybody else, it's going to come back around to you. It's going to come back around. It's going to come back around. Listen, I know, beyond this, I've been in church since 1974. I know good and well that just as soon as you point your finger at somebody and say they shouldn't be doing that, that temptation's going to come. And boy, if you ain't careful, you'll be giving right into it. That's why Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the thing I hate, that's exactly what I do. Mm-hmm. The human mind is so hypocritical. I mean, it's laughable if you think. If a man stands up and says, "I firmly believe in whatever," he's a hypocrite. He believes it, and he don't believe it at all.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You had a little fella get up here the other day and practically blame you for all of his problems, and some of you said, "Amen." Anyway, I went outside and tried to talk to him afterwards, and I said, "Won't you come back in and sit down and try to get something from the preaching?" "Well, if I do, all them people in there will judge me." "You just stood up there and said you didn't care what they thought." You say, what is that? That's double-minded, man. That's a hypocrite. And you say, "Yeah, that guy's a hypocrite." No, we're all that way. That's right. God sees it. God knows about it. God has ideas about that thing. When Jesus showed up, God manifested in the flesh, the Lord said he didn't commit nothing to nobody because he knew what was in man. He said, "Hey, I'm here to do this job." And he did the preaching, and he did the teaching, and he did the saving. He did the dying on the cross. Amen. I would hate to have a religion of this morning where I had to go down and depend on some other man's faithfulness to get me close to God. I'd hate to do that, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd hate to have to come down here and bow down in front of some man and eat a little cookie sacrifice to idols. And if I was going to go to all that trouble, I think I'd ask him to share that wine with me. Why do I have to eat the bread and you get to drink the wine? If you're going to go to all that trouble, you may as well do it. Brother Mike said he would drink wine. Well, that ain't as bad as what you was watching on TV last night. Brought that old filthy spirit in here with you this morning. Yeah, preacher, I wonder why it's so dead. Because you was listening to Metallica last night or Eminem. Mm-hmm. You look right dead at you and tell you that's what you've been listening to. That's what you look like. Is that true or not? You didn't know that shows up on you. This thing gets in the way. Blocks out whole people's. You start preaching like that and the people start doing that. Duck down behind the guy in front of them. Yeah, I was talking to you. But God sees it. God knows. God knows all about it. Listen, God knows that if it wouldn't have been for his salvation, without his sacrifice, you and me and every one of us here in this building, we'd be out hungover this morning. Brother Mike, I never drank a day in my life. Okay, we'd be waking up justifying ourselves this morning. There's different kinds of sin we can talk about, but we'd be wallowing in it this morning. He quickened us. He saved us. Oh, Brother Mike, I read my Bible every day this week. Well, that's because he inspired you to do it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. How many times did you read it before you got saved? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a God that saved us this morning. Yeah. I'm talking about the only thing you had to do with it was agreeing with the program. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I am thankful for this. You know, the Calvinists always preach there's nothing that a dead man can do. There's nothing that a dead man can do. There's nothing that a dead man can do. And at the same time, they say, we serve a sovereign God. We serve a sovereign. Well, the sovereign God that I serve can convince a dead man he needs to wake up. Amen. You were dead in trespasses and sins, but I'm glad the Lord come along, gave us a witness. Yeah. I'm glad he come along and preached the sermon to us. Yeah. I wish you realized what was happening in a church service. Yeah. I really wish that you do. I wish that you did. I wish you wouldn't just coming down to the church house just to see who's going to sing a good song or who's going to preach the sermon or who's going to take up the offering. I wonder if he's going to call on me to pray today. I wish you thought about church in a little bit different light than that. I think back about my childhood coming up in church, and when I think about my preacher standing up there and preaching and some of the sermons I heard him, I'm not thinking about some old sinful man up there, because that's all we are, sinful men. But I'm not thinking about some old sinful man up there preaching. I'm thinking about a God that knew me and knew my family and cared enough for me to die on the cross for me and then called some old sinful man to stand up and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And God showed up in that church house that morning and spoke to me through that man's voice, through that printed page, through that song that was sung, whatever the case might be. I believe that God was involved in that. And the old time preachers used to preach, you're not here by accident here this morning. You're here because God saw you and God drew you here. Your problem is you're too involved in your life. You're too involved in your life. And most of you are too involved in your own Christianity. I just have to feel better. I don't know what I'm going to do. I just have to feel better. Why don't you quit trying to feel better and start following the will of God? And next thing you know, peace will show up in your life and joy. And the hard circumstances will still be there. But God will be more real to you than he's ever been in your life. You say, why? Because he's not going to die on the cross, suffer the pains of hell, drag your burdens all over creation to save your soul, and then turn his back on you once you're his son. Yeah. Right. Amen. At least ways, that's not the God I serve. That's right. That might be your God, but it's not mine. I hear Mickey Mouse don't treat his servants too good. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Got quiet right there. Mm-hmm. I've said stuff like that and had people come up to me, Brother Mike, you know, I have tickets to Disney World, and I just feel like I don't care what you feel like. Amen. Don't care what you feel like at all. God didn't call me to worry about what you felt like while they're down there in Orlando molesting little kids. Think I care what you feel like? You're welcome. Go home and get you a dose of Mickey Mouse. I don't care what you do at home. But God knows it. God sees it. Yes, sir. Whoa, let's go ahead and face the issue since you're so quiet. Preacher says one little thing out of line, you'll quit church and you'll jump all over creation from church to church to church to church. Mickey Mouse down there molesting kids, and preacher says one little thing about it and you lose your mind, lose your church membership, lose your religion, cuss all the way home. You're a reprobate. That's what you are. You're welcome. Preacher gets out of line just a little bit. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Eminem on your radio says the most filthy and vile things that can be said. These rap stars and these rock musicians say right in front of your wife and right in front of your kids the most wicked and rebellious and ungodly things on the planet. And you're not mad about that. You probably need to be saved. Get mad at the preacher, get quiet when he says something about Mickey Mouse. You ain't got the sense God gave a billy goat. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Does things get real quiet in your car when Eminem says the F word? When these rap stars talk about having intercourse with your wife, why don't it get quiet then? Huh? Why don't you get mad about that? Say something filthy like that in front of my wife, I'll knock your teeth out. Yes, sir. Preachers ain't... Listen, if you can be a Christian and do the things you can do, I can be a preacher and knock your teeth out. Well, I just don't think I can be involved with a preacher that talks like that. Yeah, but you can be involved with one, follow one all over the country that'll leave his wife for his little youth group member. How come a fella like Tab, I said Tab, I'd say his first name, but I don't know it. How come a fella like that can leave his wife for a little girl and go all over the country and minister, but if a preacher talks about Disney World, he's shut out. All the church gets quiet. You better get right with God's what you better do. You're welcome. You're welcome. I feel a little fresh air blowing through here now. That's right. God sees that kind of stuff. And God thinks something about that. You know, God, you know what, God, I can just see this in my mind because I think I'm connected to God in some way, fashion, or form. I think I'm made in His image, and I think God restored that image when He died on the cross. Yeah. I think so. So I think I got a little bit of perspective into this. Now, listen here. Just listen to me just a little bit. If when I was speaking to my family and my kids were going, but if Brother Mike was speaking to them, they would go, you might knock your teeth out. You just think about that a little bit. Preacher stands up and preaches the word, reads a verse of scripture. But George Strait starts singing, oh, ain't he dreamy? These worldly outfits get your adoration. Jesus gets. I can't believe the preacher said something about my dress again. I can't believe. Well, get it right. Get it right. They used to accuse Lester Roloff of being a cheap preacher. And he said, well, you're doing the cheap living. Amen. Amen. But God sees things like that. Amen. God sees things like that. Better get on with the message. We're talking about how God sees you. Now, whether you're mad or not, whether you're happy, because you're in one of those conditions right here, this one, I know that. I've been around Baptists long enough to know that. Yep. There's some people say, oh, preach, Brother Mike. Yeah, man. I've been waiting to hear this message for a long time, Brother Mike. And the other part of the crowd's going, why did we vote him in? There's no middle ground in a Baptist church. If there was any indecision up to this point, this morning, the battle lines have been drawn. It's Mickey and anti-Mickey this morning. Mm-hmm. Mm. The good thing is I just don't care. Amen. That's the one good thing about growing up 102 pounds. After a while, you just figure it don't matter what other people think. Amen. But I do know who it does matter what they think, and that's God. And God has an opinion. Whether you're saved this morning or whether you're lost, God has an opinion. God sees your life, and he has an opinion about it. And I want to really preach to the lost this morning, just let you know that God sees a few things about you. In verse number 12, it's this, that at that time you were without Christ. That's how God sees you. Yes, sir. You might be a meth addict. You might be a heroin dealer. You might be a car thief. You might be a Sunday school student. You might have got the gold star at VBS, Vacation Bible School, which don't look to me like very much like a vacation, especially for those that are doing the work. You might be all those things, but if you're lost, your problem is you're without Christ. And if I said you was without money, we can fix that. If we said you was without good looks, I don't know if we can afford to fix that or not. But thankfully, that doesn't matter much. That only matters to simple-minded people. It really does. And it does. There must be a lot of simple-minded people in the world. Because that's what most people spend their time on. How do I look? You spent like 15 minutes praying this past week and 45 minutes getting ready for church this morning. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about that. I'm glad you don't look uglier than you do. I'm just saying, I think you're probably glad I don't look uglier than I do. But I'm just saying, that's the sad state of affairs. Most people just care more about what they look than to one another than they do to God.
Yeah.
And we just don't think about it enough. But the most dangerous position for you to be in is to be without Christ and God still be looking at you. And again, I'll just reemphasize it. Whether you got the gold star in VBS or whether you was dealing heroin yesterday or drinking a fifth of Jack Daniels, God sees you. And his point of controversy with you is not that you drank liquor last night. And the fact that you got a gold star in VBS or memorized a verse of Scripture last week means nothing to God. If you're not saved, you're without Christ, and that's the main point of contention. You're without him. And that says a whole lot. You're without Christ. And if you continue reading down through the verse, you find out that being without Christ means you're without hope. And listen, I don't know this for sure, and I can't say this with any certainty, but it just shows up in the lives of Christians that they don't have any hope. I understand that everybody, whether you're close to God or whether you're far from God, you're going to have some mental grief. You're going to have depression of some kind. But listen, the Christian life that's lived close to Christ provides you with peace, and it provides you with joy, not just joy, but joy unspeakable, joy you can't even describe, joy you don't even understand, because you're going through the same problems. You're going through the same trials as the rest of the world. But God's there in a real and present way. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Things are bad, but there's hope. There's hope. Yeah. But not without Christ. There's no hope there. There's just no hope there. Listen, if you're here lost this morning, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for your marriage. There's no hope for your children. The only hope that you can claim being without Christ is that if you'll call on him, he will save you. He will. You say, how do you know? Because there's an untold, there's an unnumbered succession of folks down through the years that's tried it and proved it. Amen. I mean, if you can't trust in Christ, look around and find a good testimony. They're not hard to find. Look around and ask somebody, hey, I'm not saved. You think it's worth it? Yeah. If somebody had a mind to buy a Buick, you'd look around and say, hey, you reckon I should buy a Buick? Go ask somebody for advice. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Should I invest in it? You do that with your money. Why not with your soul? Why don't you take 5 minutes after service today and stick around and say, hey, is this life worth living? Yeah, the devil will throw all kinds of stuff at you before you get saved. You have to give up that beer. That's what the devil, not one person on the face of the planet ever got saved by quitting beer or quitting cigarettes, but as soon as a person starts getting under conviction, thinking he might trust Christ, the devil will slip up and say, well, you won't be able to live that lifestyle anymore.
Right. Yep. He's a liar.
Yeah, amen.
You say, why does he do that? Because he set that path for you. The Bible, right there in Ephesians chapter number 2, right there in the very passage we were just looking at, the Bible says that the children of disobedience are following the course of this world, set by the prince of the power of the air. I'm doing my own thing. You're a fool. I'm going to walk my own way. Your steps have already been planned. And one of the things you're resisting coming to Christ for is because you think Christ is going to control every aspect of your life, when you're deceived about the fact that the devil already controls every aspect of yours. When he says be depressed, you're depressed. When he says be mad, you're mad. When he says fly off the handle, you jump on the broom. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're living exactly. You see, I don't know what the fad is now, but I recognized, 10 or 15 years ago, all these kids walking around in black. All in black, black makeup and black fingernails, and that's just describing the boys. Stop one of them in the mall and say, hey, man, what's this all about? What's going on here? Pass him a gospel tract and try to witness to him. He said, man, I'm just doing my own thing. I'm trying to be an individual. Well, right there's a crowd of 15, looks just like you. All these guys in the 80s wearing parachute pants and all this stuff, Michael Jackson jackets and white gloves like a big dummy. Well, what's this all about here? I'm just trying to do my own thing, man. You mean like this other 10 million people right here? Move back to the 50s and you got denim jackets and cigarette boxes rolled up in your sleeve. Hey, man, what's this all about? Man, I'm just trying to be cool. Just trying to do my own thing, man. You mean like everybody else? Mm-hmm. 1972, going to personalize my own car. I was 2 years old. I didn't have a car in 72. In 1972, you're going to customize your car. You get a set of SS Kregers because I want to be unique. And every Chevrolet in the country got a set of SS Kregers on them. You're not unique. You're not unique. I've got blonde hair and blue eyes. So does 10 million other people.
How about that?
You're not doing your own thing. Listen, I don't know if you've recognized it or not, and I hate to depress you further, but this world is a prison, and you're in it with 10 million, billion people, other people that are in the same boat you are, doing the same thing you are, making the same excuses you're making, coming up with the same ideas you've had 1,000 times. Don't you hate it when you come up with a good idea and then like 10 years later somebody's making $1 million off of it?
Yeah.
You thought of that. Yeah. Well, don't think you're a unique genius. Everybody thinks of this junk.
Yeah.
You're in the same world with all of us. And if you're lost, you're without Christ. And that's your major problem.
That's right.
If I only had the money. No, the money's not the problem.
Yeah. Right.
Money's not the problem. You say, what is it? God's looking at you and he sees you without Christ. One of these days they'll not be knocking on his door and say, let us in. He'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Never knew you. Don't know who you are. Listen, the compromising Baptists have preached, and there's a measure of truth in it, but we've preached the love side of the issue so much that the lost, unregenerated world are walking around today thinking that the Lord loves them in the same sense that he loves his children. And he loves the world in the sense that he created them and he took responsibility for them and he died for them. But until you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're without him.
Yes,
whether you think he loves you or not, regardless of whether you think he's divinity or not, whether you think he's a trinity or not, whether you believe there's going to be a rapture or not, whether you believe there's a gap theory or not, if you're without him, you're without him, and that's the only thing he thinks about you. He's not looking at you to see if you're a good Baptist or a good Catholic or a good Unitarian or a good Mason, present company excluded. I'm talking about the club Masons. I've made the Disney crowd mad. I may as well make the Mason crowd mad as well. Why not? I met a fella down in Georgia. Another pastor had just come to town. We were talking a little bit. One of his deacons come in. So I'd like to introduce you to such and such. And he went to shake my hand. He did this number here. Flashing his Mason ring in my face. I belong to the Masons. Well, I belong to the church. Hey. Listen, in this society that we live in today, you'd be surprised at the number of people who think they're saved because they belong to the Elks Lodge or they belong to the Masons. I just have no desire to dress up in pajamas and hang out with a bunch of guys. Where I come from, pajama parties are for the girls and the kid girls. I mean, not grown-ups. You grow up, you know. If you want to belong to a club, join a hunting club or something like that. I mean, something like that. I don't recommend the NRA, but spider on my Bible. One of y'all's devils got loose up here. I'd kill it, but I'm afraid of them. I'm just kidding. Ruth kills the spiders at our house, amen, because I'm afraid of lightning and spiders. But I ain't afraid of you, amen. But at any rate, that's the gospel truth. People feel like they're going to go to heaven when they die because they took up a few dollars for the Shriners and helped some kids.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm not mad about that. If you take up money, get together with a bunch of fellas and wear a silly-looking hat and take up money and give it to kids, I don't care nothing about that. I ain't mad at you over that. But them good works ain't going to get you to heaven. I don't care how many kids you help. I don't care how many elderly folks you help. I don't care how often you wear your mask so you don't spread COVID. I don't care about those good things. God don't care about those things when it comes to being without Christ. And listen to me. I want to say this morning because I believe it's true. I don't believe it's real prevalent yet, but I do believe that we're entering into the age of the new righteousness. In other words, back in the 70s, I said, stop going down there to that church. They're telling you can't smoke. Stop going down there to that church. They're getting in your business. Some of y'all feel like that way when you come to church now. That preacher's always in our business. And the government and Hollywood's right there to back you up. Oh, them preachers are so mean. Oh, they want your money. And we'll be a television company. Oh, all them preacher wants your money. And they'll send you their bill.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, how many of y'all get free cable? But all them preachers, and they'll talk you out of going to a church where they got standards and tell you how to dress and tell you how, somebody needs to do it, obviously.
Amen.
Well, we're all dressed like, yeah, but we see you at Walmart and stuff. God surely sees it.
Yeah, he sees it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I'm sorry to tell you, but God instituted this thing called human government. Somebody going to tell you what to do somewhere on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
If you ain't going to have a preacher do it, I'll tell you who will do it, Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it with me just a minute. In the 70s and 80s and the 90s, you was mad at preachers for telling you what to do. He's always telling us to give. He's always telling us, and the church takes up money and it does what it needs to do with it. But after you left church and after the country left church and has nothing to do with God, then the government comes along and tells you, well, look, all these poor people, they got to have this money. We'll just take your tax money. We'll raise your taxes and give it over here. Same thing. Just same rules. Delaware says, hey, no smoking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I can't stand it when the preacher tries to shame us into doing right. And drive down Highway 1. Corona courtesies, please. Walk in a store without a mask. Sir, where's your mask? It's at home minding its business. But see, the lady's sleeping around all over town. The one she's not sleeping with, she's showing herself to on Facebook. She can't brag about modesty. He can't brag about telling the truth. He can't brag about being sober, so he brags because he's wearing his mask, wearing his seatbelt. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. You can't brag about being righteous in your Christian walk, so you, well, I'm not prejudiced. Well, who cares if you're not prejudiced? Who cares if you wear, who cares about those things if you're without Christ? I'll tell you this, a saved prejudiced man better off than you are. If you're lost, he's better. I'm not speaking in favor of prejudice. I don't think you ought to prejudge anything. You go by the evidence.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking in favor of prejudice. I'm speaking in opposition to you feeling like that you can live this life in some manner that's good enough to attain to the righteousness of Christ without trusting Christ. It can be done. You're without hope. Now let me say this one more thing. Look down in verse number 14 there, or verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes, you folks used to be lost, you know. I've heard this said so many times I've heard this said. Preacher, I'm close to getting saved. But you know what? If you're not saved, you're not close to being saved. You say, how do you know? That verse of Scripture just said you were far off. If you're without Christ, you're far off. You say, well, I'm here in church this morning. I'm awfully close, ain't you? Yeah, but you're so far away. So far away. There's just one breath. There's just one heartbeat between you and eternity. And that separation from God you won't be able to deal with. Far off. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, you believe in him, but have you trusted him? The Bible says the devils believe. They believe so much that they tremble. When's the last time you trembled about God? I'm talking about Christian folks now. When's the last time you done something and just, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Lord, help me. I find myself from time to time staying up all night thinking, man, why in the world did I do that? Why in the world did I do that? God, help me not to do that no more. Do you ever find yourself like that? Trembling before God. Well, the devils believe in tremble. A lot of people won't even, a lot of people don't even care. A lot of people not even listen to, they wouldn't listen to a word that's coming out of a preacher's mouth when it has to do with things like this. They don't even want to hear about it. All they want to do is get back home and get on with their life and get back on Facebook and get back on TikTok and get back. But there's such a feeling of normality there. There's such a feeling of well-being, and you feel like you belong in that, just sitting by yourself in a dark room. Seeing everybody else doing the same thing you're doing. Put a different picture of yourself on the internet every day and walk around, oh, nobody likes me, nobody thinks I'm beautiful, nobody, and just twist yourself in a knot till you can get back and look, oh, that girl's doing it too. That girl's doing that. Oh, there's a guy doing it. Feel right at home. But you're right at home with those that are without Christ. Far away, far, far away, far away. And the simple fact of the matter is, our Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's Christ.
Amen.
And the requirements are not very difficult in the grand scheme of things, not very difficult. And when you look at giving up this world and this world's good in exchange for Christ, that may be a heavy price to pay for you, but it's one worth paying. But in the grand scheme of things, you don't have to slay no sheep. You don't have to build no altars. You don't have to twist no beads or say any particular prayers. Just call on the name of the Lord. He'll save you right there. And if you get good and saved, that'll be the end of the doubt, end of the fear, end of the world. Brother Joe, I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. And the only way I can know it with that kind of certainty is the fact that I had nothing to do with arranging the trip. That's just the way that it is. The only thing in this world that's certain is God. The only thing in this world that's certain is His Word. The only thing in this world that's certain is His promises. Listen, you could decide today to do something and you change your mind by the time 5 o'clock rolls around this afternoon. Yes, we're that changeable. God's not that changeable. God sees us as we are. He has an opinion about our condition and He's made reconciliation for our condition. The only thing left is to put the ball into your court and say, will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Will you trust Him? Will you put your faith in Him? Will you let Him have control of your life? Will you, as far as repentance goes in your mind, you think you're okay, you think you're going the right way, will you now say, my way is not the right way, but His is the right way? My solutions are not the right solutions. His solutions are the right solutions. Can you do that? Would you do that? You'd be surprised how hard that is for some people. You'd be surprised how hard it is for some Christians to do that very thing. Isn't it true that when we get caught up in this flesh and doing the things we want to do, it's hard for even Christians sometimes to turn around and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been doing things the way I've been doing it. And Lord, help me and lead me and guide me. If it's hard for Christians to do sometimes, there's no wonder it's hard for, it's no wonder they used to talk about sinners standing in a behind a church pew gripping it till their knuckles turn white. No question in my mind, it'd be a difficult task, but it'd be the greatest decision you ever made. Amen. Amen. I guess it's kind of a paradox, one of the hardest decisions and one of the easiest decisions to make. I hope, listen, I pray this, that when it comes your turn to die, you won't die without Christ.
Amen.
Because let me tell you, that's permanent.
Yep.
That's forever. The things we fear most in this life are often just temporary things. And the more we fear it, the less time we normally would have to. Most people fear death most of all. And when it comes, it'll come like that and it'll be gone. We fear sickness and maybe we'd be sick a month or a week or some cases worse. For worse cases, I understand that. But we fear those things. Those things we fear are most often temporary. But if you die without Christ, that'll be permanent. Then what will all the things of this world, the things that you gave your heart and your mind to, what will those things be worth in the moment that you die without Christ? Won't be worth a thing, will it? Lord, we thank You, God, this morning for Your goodness and for Your grace. I pray, oh God, You'd take the word that's been preached as straight and as plain as I know how to do it, Lord, I pray You'd take it and use it to Your honor and glory. Not one ounce of malice meant toward the individuals in this room. Lord, there's things in this world, there's operations and organizations that I don't care nothing about. I think they're damning souls to hell. But the souls in this room are precious in Your sight, and they're precious in my sight in the sense that I can know them and understand where they're at and where they're heading in this life. Lord, the only thing that I can offer is the truth and a fresh perspective on the reality that things have consequences. And Lord, I know You see me just as well as I know You see these. I know it and I understand it. And God, I pray that You'd help me and I pray that You'd help these to reconcile our minds to the fact that You see us and You have an opinion about what You see. I pray, oh God, You'd help us in Jesus' name. Come ahead, preacher.